This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Newsmakers. Brent is off the rest of the week, and so we have guest hosts sitting in. And joining us today is the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, T.J. Sullivan, and our regular Tuesday visit with Mayor Chuck Bennett of Salem as well. Welcome, gentlemen.
I think from now on out, let's just refer to me as community activist,
T.J. Community Sullivan. Activist?
Yeah, that sounds a lot better. I've done the end of this month.
Are ya?
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah.
So
Brent used to be president too, and look what he's.
Yeah, he's ascended.
He's ascended.
So ascended, yeah. Brent is out this week. He's a lot of people don't know this about Brent, but he's into yak husbandry, and it's a really short window here in the Northwest for breeding yaks.
Are you making this up?
No, I've. Maybe.
He's making it up, totally.
I know. I just, wherever Brent's at, I wanted him husbandry. To. Yeah, it's a small window, but a lot of fun. I think he has fun doing it, but it's nice to be here. This is a lot of, this is a lot of how our old city council sessions used to go, with Chuck and I passing each other horrible notes back and forth, trying to make the other one laugh.
So that's why they took so long.
Yeah, no, that's the reason why they felt so short.
Yeah, because we are having fun.
It's pretty entertaining.
You have to, you know, in the middle of, you know, when you're talking about wastewater reclamation projects, you got to introduce a little bit of humor into it.
Oh, absolutely.
Or everybody will go crazy.
Yeah,
so.
It's true.
All right, so let's start with Mayor Chuck Bennett.
Yes.
There's still water issue comments still filtering around there, and there shouldn't be, because we had the manager of Salem Water Project, he was on yesterday and just flat out said, not true.
Yeah, this was just made up. And it happens. You know, I think if folks think they can rely on sort of odd Facebook posts as to what's going on with their water supply, they're going to spend a lot of time probably being scared, because mm-hmm. that's what people like to do, is put out false statements. The city on its website has the definitive information. We have multiple testings going on a week. They may be up to a daily now.
Yeah, he did say it was daily.
Yeah, I think they are, which really gives a definitive, data-driven picture of what the water supply looks like. The city is way, way ahead on this issue, expects to be. We'll be putting out official notice if we see anything that results in cyanotoxins or any other problem inside the distribution system of the water supply. We have filters in place. We have treatment in place to deal with the issues we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
We won't see that coming through. We're going to be adding really substantial beefed up water treatment program using ozone, which is sort of state of the art, to make sure that not just cyanotoxins or.
By the way, you can't say that word enough.
No, you can't, because
that sounds
it sounds like
a Bond villain would use.
It really does. It sounds as bad as it could be. It isn't, but it sounds pretty bad. So we might as well just agree that there could be bad stuff end up in our water. We could have a gasoline tanker roll over up on Highway 22 and dump it into the reservoir, into the river. There's a whole range of things that can happen. We test for over 200 factors in that water on a regular basis. I don't know if the daily test picks all that up along the way or not. But we're really keeping close track of that water quality well beyond any kind of federal or state requirements. But what we'd like to have is a treatment system in place that treats absolutely anything that can conceivably happen aside from a Martian invasion, which you may read about on Facebook.
Sure.
You
know, yeah. Same people who are commenting,
on our water. Yeah.
Watch out for the Martian. You got to get the tinfoil, wrap that really tight around your head, and that'll help to ward them off.
That's right.
I think the funny thing about all of this is that the city of Salem's made a huge investment into the water quality and to the testing and the, everything that we can do to react better to any potential problems that might arise because of what happened last summer, which really was if you drank an unnatural amount of that water at the midst of when the algae bloom was there, you were going to get yourself a real good tummy ache. And that was going to really be the extent of the problem. And so we've made this huge investment which rightfully so, because I think one of the things that we have going for us is that we do have this good, clean water supply. We want to continue to make it clean. I think as we look to attract businesses to our area, that can be one of the sellable features that we have. So I think it's right that we do it. It's just frustrating that when you make this kind of an investment to address a problem that was really fairly small, that you can have people who have access to broadcast crazy ideas out there to the community, and that it would get any kind of traction from the local press is really, it just makes your head hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Well, it's certainly disappointing. In that you hope people act with good faith, particularly you go on to these social media sites and you assume, well, they may not agree with me, but they really think they're right. In this case, someone just made this up, and I think to scare people, and that's really unconscionable. People worry about their children, their pets, their older parents, and to try to create that kind of fear out of whole cloth, I think, is really kind of unconscionable.
This could be a prosecutable thing then, right?
No, not by me.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
it's inappropriate. I guess you can say it's like yelling fire in a crowded theater. I think it's not quite that the same. We were able, but with a great deal of effort, the city manager, 6-7 staff members were pretty steadily in the city offices responding to this issue. Because Salem had an issue last year. It announced that it had cyanotoxins in the water, not at any kind of wildly dangerous level, but enough that it needed to be announced. And I think there were some missteps initially for the first couple days on it. And, you know, in a way, the city lives with those consequences during this period as people try to adjust their trust level based on what has become a very, very sophisticated system, watching that water quality and preparing to deal with any problems it has.
And if anything does get through, you're more than prepared to distribute water now this time, right?
Yeah, to distribute water, to make sure everyone knows absolutely immediately that there's a problem. What the level of problem is they're looking at so they can evaluate their own behavior relative to the water supply. For most people, what we're looking at is not something that in any way endangers them.
Right.
And then again, reassure the public that where to get the water that they may need. But I think the other thing is, and the thing that's really important, is we have a treatment regimen in place right now that will resolve anything we saw last year.
Good.
And I believe will carry us forward until we get a new system in place. We're also looking at backup water supplies over the next several years as well, drilling some new wells out at Garin Island and some other things like that. So there's quite a bit going on around our water system. We're going to be making a very substantial investment in that water system to get it up to a standard that can really survive the consequences of someone putting up a false Facebook post.
Absolutely. Well, they always said, Mark Twain said that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over.
That's yeah, right. That's there exactly right.
Stays true.
We're going to take a quick break and change gears and talk taxes. We have Mayor Chuck Bennett from Salem here and TJ Sullivan. He's the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent is out for the rest of the week. We have guest hosts this week, and today we have TJ Sullivan. He's the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and
community
of course,
activist.
Yeah,
community activist.
Okay, yeah. And then you have Mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank
All
you.
Right, let's talk about some taxes. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, we the City Council met last night in a work session. I think people have probably read about, and I hope are increasingly understanding that the city of Salem is operating on a trajectory that is spending more than it takes in because of demands from the public.
Sure.
Public wants police, they want fire, they want, I mean, just to give you kind of an example, the property tax collected in the city of Salem does not pay for the cost of just police and fire. It doesn't cover that. There is not enough raised from property taxes in Salem to pay for the level of police and fire protection we have in that community. So there is there are other revenue sources. None of them are anywhere near as large as the property tax. And the result over time, through a series of sort of requests from the public, sort of the deal with homelessness city council.
Right.
Even though you've never done it before, it's not your general mission. Deal with fire needs in West Salem. We had closed one of our fire stations over there and wanted to reopen it because we were seeing our response times increasing, and I kind of want to remind people sort of what it looks like at the fire department. They really are an emergency medical group.
Correct.
About over 20,000 of their calls are emergency medical calls. Only maybe 1,000 are
fire.
Yeah. And probably less. So it's primarily, they're all trained EMTs, so we're really talking about life-saving services. So that got reopened. We have added some police officers. We're trying very hard to be responsive to the public. But in that process, you start spending money. And as you're spending money, you're using up savings you have developed. The projection was that in the next 5 years, the city will sort of cross a line and will have to start making some pretty severe cuts. Well, the council wanted to have what they called a sustainable revenue task force. The revenue task force met. It made recommendations. It looked at 13 different ways of raising money in the city of Salem. And it chose two to advance to the city council, saying, we'd like you to look at these and potentially enact them.
Okay, and what are they?
One is a what like the city of Kaiser did, a fee on your utility bill. Kaiser put it on to pay for police. That's their, it's a general fund cost of that being paid for whatever they're saying is for police.
Sure.
City of Salem, and I'm not sure how big it was. I think it was about $5. City of Salem is looking, had recommended, it'll look like about a $10 fee. So it'll be about $120 a year on the utility bill. There's some adjustments that might be made inside of that. The other one is a payroll tax for employees of 0.03%. on your income. That one has the one attraction, their big attraction there is it would raise money from state workers or other workers who come into Salem from outside of town, stay in town all day, use the facility essentially.
Sure.
Just say and that services. Salem is kind of a, you know, broad service provider, so they're getting some of the services. This would charge them an amount for that and would help raise money. Both of them raise about $8 million. One, the way it's been described is one $8 million project tax plugs the hole. The other $8 million deals with the shortfall over a longer period of time. And it's looking at about a 10-year period, or really expecting over time to not face this problem again. Council talked about it last night. It's looking at some ways to make it, as they see it, more fair, more progressive, mm-hmm. in that it's based more on your ability to pay. In this case, is what you define progressive as. They voted to, or gave a sense of the council to advance that to the city council for its July 8th meeting for final action. Myself and Brad Nanke voted no. I told the council, I continue to believe this. The recommendation from the Revenue Task Force was put these proposals up to a vote of the people, let the people decide whether they want to pay these taxes, explain what's going on in the city's budgeting and revenue process, and let the public vote. Nanke and I think, feel real strongly you can pretty much trust the people of Salem to do the right thing and do the thing that best serves their needs. So when the council said, no, we don't want to put them up for a vote, we both said, well, then we don't want to see them advance to the council. I think we'll ask for a formal vote on referral to the public. This has not been a council that's real excited about having the public vote. If you recall, their decision on the third bridge was essentially a way to block a future discussion of a third bridge by the public. So I'm kind of concerned, and I shared with them my concern. I'm not going to go out and be wildly opposed, but I think if you won't let the public vote, don't ask me to vote for it to just reach into their pocket and grab their money. I am very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that impressed me about how Kaiser went about it was they really got out and made the pitch. Yeah. They went to every neighborhood association, they went to the Rotary, they did all the work that they needed to do to make the pitch to the public about this is what you're paying and this is what you're going to get for what you're paying. And I think one of the things that was frustrating about that bridge discussion, what I encourage the council to do is, if you really are intent on preventing the public from having any future discourse about this, get out into the public and let them know that. Let them know why you don't want them to have anything else to say on this issue and why you don't want to move it forward. And, you know, there was none of that. It was very much an insular, stay behind closed doors, and do this in private meetings, and you saw it in the lack of discussion that took place in the council chambers as to why people would knock this project, you know, that's been wildly supported. And the same thing it feels like with the tax issue. Are you getting out and getting into your respective parts of your wards, respective parts of the city, and letting them know, hey, look, this is coming down the pipe. I know there's a lot of people that this is going to be news to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the council isn't willing to put it to a vote of the citizens is really disconcerting.
Are they looking at both of them too?
Both
the taxes?
Oh, yeah.
Not just one or the other, both of them.
Both.
Oh, wow.
And was the work session, was it the private citizens who are on this committee, this ad hoc committee, and the council, or was it just the council in the work session?
We'd had a work session with the committee where the committee presented its finding, which included the recommendation that these go to a vote. This was just the council looking at that recommendation that came to them and making some decisions around how they'd like to proceed with it. And there were some details that I feel uncomfortable trying to get into because it gets a little technical, and I would prefer that you have the city manager or someone who's a real specialist in this area talk to you about it. But
we will make you talk to us about it.
You make me?
Yeah.
You can try. Let's see there, Buster. These are fairly technical issues. But you are hitting on one I think is really important. Councilors like to claim they go out and talk to their neighborhoods and their constituents and things. I'm never really sure if they're talking kind of in a bubble. I worry a lot that they go talk to people who think like they do, and they get into a cycle of convincing each other that they all agree. This is really a big deal to people. When you start going in and you're starting to talk about taking at a minimum $120 a year on the utility bill, depending on your income, how much is going to be taken at 0.03 of your paycheck, people I think pay closer and closer attention. The other thing that is a real concern to me too is if I can't pay, I am a retiree on a fixed income, okay? Let's just go to that. And there are people who are on really fixed low incomes who $10 a month is a substantial amount of money.
Sure.
And for, I think, a lot of folks, they may not realize what that means. It is very, very important to a number of folks in this community. If they don't pay that bill, their water gets turned off. If they don't
pay
it for two
right.
and a half months. Well, that was my reaction, too. But that's how the utility bill is enforced. So we're going to have to take a look at how do we mitigate that. I mean, we can't have people who can't afford that, the streetlight fee, the stormwater fee, not just their water and sewer, but on those other three, they're just starting to run into the wall. These
sure.
And these are flat rates. This isn't based on my ability to pay. This is just based on my paying. And I'm not going to object. I can afford it. I'm not sure I'm thrilled about it, but I can afford it. So, and I really care about the services the city provides. I think they're important to me and my neighborhood. And, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest cost driver in all of this is PERS.
Yeah.
I know that there's some PERS reform that's on the table, and it would be ideal for some of these things to come to fruition. I know that there's been one reform bill that's come through, and hopefully there's some additional items that can come through that can present some cost savings to the city. I don't know how much will...
Yeah, we took a look at that yesterday as well in a separate finance committee meeting, and it's not real encouraging. Even with Salem has an unusual workforce situation compared to a lot of other PERS. We have an older, longer-serving workforce. People come to Salem, go to work, and they spend their career here. And the kinds of changes that have been proposed really won't have a substantial effect on our rates. And we're rated separately. I mean, we're not part of like just some group rate. We get rated like some others individually. So it's not clear what the savings are going to look like to us from these changes. There are certainly going to be some impacts on employees if they go through. I think our employees are looking at it very carefully. Certainly the issues around final average salary, whether your vacation time comes in, some other things, some of our more senior and some other employees, that plays a role. And if they need to, they can go out before January. They can bail and protect their final average salary and the payment schedule that goes with it.
Yeah, it was interesting. We had a recent discussion about this, and as a percentage of workforce, the number of tier one PERS employees that the city of Salem has is way higher.
It is.
Than the, and that really begins to impact in that the amount of money that you're liable for, that unfunded liability is scary, what that's looking like.
Well, what really keeps coming up, I think, and I believe you were on the council when this was done, was the sale of those bonds.
Right. We bonded that debt.
You bonded that debt and created a side account that continues to help us a little bit with our rates by assisting in terms of additional funding outside of employer contribution.
Which at the time, that was a
pretty
huge
gutsy.
Risk.
That was.
And, you know, it was one of those things, and it's really technical, and I don't want to get into it because it's
But you guys did it
so
right.
Technical.
You
yeah.
did do it right. I was over there when that bill was put together and somewhat involved in it, and it was hard to both encourage and to talk local governments, school districts, cities and counties into the idea of bonding that indebtedness. Understandably so. It's long-term debt, you're going out, but what it's created, particularly as our market has grown so really well over the past number of years, it's really created substantial side accounts, which is essentially the profits from the investments going into the cost of PERS, which is really helpful.
That's good. All right.
Yeah, it really was good stuff.
We're over time.
Oh, okay.
Time to say goodbye, I guess, to Mayor Chuck.
No, I'm really interested. Just you have no idea how much I look forward to seeing TJ here.
Oh, okay.
Chat with him. So
yeah, it was nice to have some quality time with you, Chuck.
He's got some pull that I don't have because he's usually going, well, it's 12:30. I got to go. So, all right. We'll take a quick break. We're with TJ Sullivan, the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and Mayor Chuck Bennett from Salem. We'll be right back on Salem 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. Brent is out this week. I'm Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us for Newsmakers today. We have TJ Sullivan from the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce and Mayor Chuck Bennett of Salem, and he decided to stay.
Yeah,
he bails on me, but he's staying now for another segment, and we want to talk about some good stuff.
Stay.
Well, you are invited to stay the entire hour.
Okay. Well, I'm never sure. You guys, you guys say that, but
no, we really.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, you're one of my favorite people on the planet. I'm being honest. I'm not just patronizing you right now. You really are. You're a great mayor, and it's not easy. I mean, I'll just say it. Maybe you're not supposed to be saying things like that. This council is probably one of the most challenging councils I've seen. They're the most. One of the things that when I was a city councilor, every day when I woke up, I was on my head was, how do I make Salem better? And with this current council, I don't think that it's not that they're bad people. I think that they're very well-intentioned. I just don't think that wise decision-making is a gift that they necessarily possess, and that they look a lot of global issues and go, well, what can Salem contribute to saving the polar bears? And they make legislation that way versus, coming and looking and saying, gosh, we need to solve this problem right now, today in our city. We need to be focused on these things. What are some things that we can do if property values and property taxes are how we get the chunk of income into our general fund? What can we be doing that increases property values in Salem? Because I think that's the one area where if you do something that's really cool that drives my property my property value up, I'm willing to pay that corresponding property tax bill.
Yeah, but getting rid of plastic bags and plastic straws and things like that does not help the value of my house. I'm just saying.
City of Salem is doing a lot of cool things.
Yes.
That is increasing, that will increase potentially property values. And so that's kind of where we wanted to transition to is, I remember the pedestrian footbridge.
Yeah.
When that was in the design phase, the concept phase, and we started throwing that idea out there, it was right on the heels of the railroad bridge. So I just finished pulling all the arrows out of my backside for that railroad bridge. And then here comes a new volley on, like, you're going to do what? You're going to connect Mental Brown to Riverfront? Like, that's the worst idea ever. And I remember talking to my friend Topher Holland, who owns Taproot. And he will tell you that there was a difference in business from the day that that bridge opened up.
Yeah.
So when you create something that increases the foot traffic into a business, you increase the gross receipts that that business is collecting.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to then pay the rent as it increases. The property value increases. And we're starting to see that effect in downtown all over the place. There's a lot of good things that are happening in downtown. And I know some people may look at it and go, oh gosh, well, the homeless problem. I don't want to go down. There isn't a homeless problem downtown. If you want to see a homeless problem, go to Eugene for any stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back here and you're like, gosh, we don't have a homeless problem here. I mean, obviously for those of us who live here, we see it and it's more than what it's been. It is not a problem when you go and you look at what other communities are dealing with.
Well, it's, I think that, to the council's credit, and I understand there are always differences of opinion over time on these this whole range of issues. There has been, in fact, during the past several years, some real major successes. We're getting focused on some issues we should be focused on I think while they were high on folks' list, there was some real difficult figuring out what to do. Homelessness was one of them. We have really invested in homeless housing with wraparound services. We have the largest Housing First program in the state, and we target the hardest to house, which are people who've been on the streets for 10, 15 years with real severe health, mental health, and probably addiction problems as well. And we are moving those folks off the street into housing. In fact, I'm going to my first celebratory picnic with alums now of the HRAP program, this homeless assistance program at Bush Park. I think it's next week.
Okay.
And these folks have graduated, have their own place. They got a job. They're taking care of themselves. We're helping people change their lives. And that, I think, is the one thing we can do, and we'll do it. If it's what it takes one person at a time, we'll do it one person at a time. We'll do it one day at a time. But we are going to help people change their lives and get them off the streets. But we also have an obligation to deal with the yahoos who are so antisocial, whether it's because of drugs, because of criminal background, or because of mental health, that they're unable to control their bodily functions on our public streets, their ability to not pull a knife on a person walking down the street. We cannot have that. We can't have some guy walk down Broadway throwing rocks through business windows. We just can't have that.
Right.
We cannot have that. So I expect in the next few months the council will be looking at some new and different ways to deal with some of those kinds of really totally unacceptable. These aren't people looking for housing. These are people with some other issues going on, and we need to take care of that, and we need to decide where they fit into this community. So we'll be working on that. We have had, I think, some tremendous success downtown. For all of the talk that goes on about our downtown, we've had a huge influx of new businesses on first floor, second floor. We've had a substantial development of new housing and people moving downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're not just playing with the idea. They're not renting renting an apartment. They're also buying condos. They are moving downtown, and it's changing the way downtown feels and works. I think anyone who's been here as long as we've been have seen this. When it's been real quiet after 5 o'clock, that just doesn't happen anymore. It is constantly going. We have set up also a brewery district, proclaimed a brewery district here in Salem, down in Southeast. A whole batch of craft brewers down there, and we're going to be taking advantage of a huge interest among tourists who like to come to a community and tour these various kinds of craft brewing companies. And so that's underway. We've got a batch of that kind of activities underway. I'm just real excited about it. We've got a great season down at Riverfront Park this year. This is the 100th, I think it's the 100th anniversary of the art fair.
Oh, nice.
No, the art association this year, not the art fair, but the art association.
That'd be amazing if that was 100 years of the art fair.
Yeah, I would have been. Because you remember going.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm going to start a Facebook rumor that Salem's contemplating a green zone where we're going to push the potential of the marijuana that's grown in Oregon to tourists. Is there any, should I start that rumor?
Well, I'm surprised it hasn't. I don't know. That we certainly have our share of dispensaries.
Do we?
We seem to. But I think a lot of it is we've got a number of affordable housing projects underway. I was just approached by one this morning where I went over a proposal in a part of Salem that needs some affordable housing. The North Campus at the State Hospital, the old North Campus between Center D and just off Park and 25th, is lining up to be redeveloped. I mean, these are we have people looking closely at the Panasonic building. I believe the old Kmart has been sold. The property where Cap Chev was has been sold and is I think under fairly long term look at how it will redevelop and what it will redevelop as. There just is a ton of interest in this community. Nordstrom sold. Yeah, that was in today's paper.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's going to turn into a kind of a mix, not a mixed use, but multiple users there. I think the one featured was a fitness center, but it had a batch of other businesses looking at going in there. So
that'll be exciting.
It will. It will. It should increase foot traffic at the mall. Willamette is expanding.
Yeah.
Hospital's expanding.
Well, hospital just has to expand.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
They are really getting hit. But Willamette is bringing in a new school of theology with Claremont coming here, looking at other developments over on the property that they have sort of east of their campus. God, it just kind of keeps going.
Well, all right, gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt. We are late for a break.
Oh, go ahead.
You going to stay?
Sure.
All right. Wow, amazing. I get him for a whole hour.
Nice.
TJ Sullivan from the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce
community
is here
activist.
Along with...
It's community activist.
Community activist. Yeah,
you're so funny. And the mayor, Chuck Bennett of Salem, is here. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent is off today and the rest of the week, but we'll have fun without him. Here on Newsmakers, 1430, KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. I'm Dave Bourne. This is Newsmakers, and joining me today is the guest host TJ Sullivan, soon to be a community activist, but he's the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce at the moment, and Mayor Chuck Bennett of Salem is joining me. And we had a caller while we were on the break. They wanted to know, if you were aware of the issues with homeless with bikes riding recklessly, especially in West Salem and around the area of the bridge, darting in and out of traffic, riding into roadways without looking because his son got hit by a guy in a bike that caused $5,000 in damage to his car.
Yeah, I think the caller makes a really good warning to people. Mm-hmm. I think you can go in a variety of areas around town. I see it quite a bit. I live over in inner East Salem. I've seen it in West Salem. There are folks riding bikes that are just absolutely
crazy.
Not
reckless.
Reckless. Thank you. I knew there was a term I was looking for, other than crazy.
Yeah.
But that they are reckless, and it just is incumbent on all of us to be aware of them, to watch for them. And I am really sorry his son got hit. Hopefully, he means the car suffered that damage.
Yes,
I hope his
did.
Son didn't. Because
mm-hmm.
That's always my worry, particularly in these neighborhoods like mine that are very walkable for senior citizens. People riding erratically can hit someone and do serious, serious damage to an elderly person. And I see it. I see it every day.
I
know exactly what he's talking about. It is the kind of behavior we have just got to get a handle on, and we'll be working with our police department on that kind of program.
I think that's one of the things as we try to interact with folks. One of the things that sort of boggles my mind is this new mentality that if you're homeless, it means that you get to go wherever you want, however you want to get there.
Right.
And, you know, we've got up around our property downtown. We put up a fence around parts of it for security purposes, but also for the safety, you know, walking in and around the railroad. And that fence has been knocked over so many times. And it's even, we got to the point where we'd left an opening so that people could walk in and out of it. And that wasn't good enough. So, you know, 100-foot section of fence was pushed over.
Wow.
And it's this idea of, well, I would like to lay on your bushes because they're comfortable. I would like to pull up your lighting system so that I can get access to it to charge my phone. I would like to ride my bike on the sidewalk when there's a bike lane right there.
Yeah.
Because I get to go wherever I want to go and do whatever I want to do. And I think that it's that difference between people who are chronically homeless with mental health issues versus people that just have zero regard for other people's property, other people's, you know, cars, freedom, whatever. They're going to trample all over all of it. I think that's what's really frustrating everyone right now.
And somebody should remind them, too, that, you know, bike riders always lose against a car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there are just innumerable problems associated with this. The one that catches my attention and I hear about most commonly is just the garbage.
Yeah.
The amount of trash that comes into a camp. And we've seen it in places where camps have been cleaned out. I mean, it's just tons of this stuff comes out. And I think for kind of the average middle-class person like you and me, this is very, very difficult to understand. And it's something we're going to continue. I think what you can't do is let it just keep going or you end up with a Seattle.
We have 1 minute left.
1 minute? Oh, gosh.
Gosh,
I know. That time hugging or
right?
Speech? Well, just saying nice things about each other. What a great job you've done as president of the chamber. I want to tell you.
I want to tell you what an amazing job you're doing as mayor.
Yeah.
There you go. How much time you got left?
I'll do that. I'll concur with that one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, while Brent's gone, he can get a couple of baby yaks out of the process.
I hope
and
so.
That'd be awesome for him. And Chuck, it's always good spending time with
good
you.
To
I'm
see
glad
you.
You're
Thank
our mayor and. Look forward to getting you back on to talk about cool projects that are happening and as they come to fruition.
Great. Well, next time, no water, no homeless.
Cyanotoxins.
Well, we can only hope.
Cyanotoxins.
We can only hope.
Yeah, let's talk about
good
there,
stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on above and beyond that.
Thank you, Mayor Chuck
Thank
Bennett
you.
And T.J. Sullivan.
Community activist.
Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Guest hosting today. He'll be back on Thursday. I'm Dave Bourne. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.